ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 23। आन्विक्षक्या शोक मोहो दंभम महद उपासया योगांतरायान मौनेना हिंसाम कामाद अनिहया। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। बाय डिस्कसिंग स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज वन कैन कॉन्कर लैमेंटेशन एंड इल्यूजन। बाय सर्विंग अ ग्रेट डिवोटी वन कैन बिकम प्राइडलेस। बाय कीपिंग साइलेंट वन कैन अवॉइड ऑब्स्टैकल्स on the path of mystic yoga, and simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. Purport. If one's son has died, one may certainly be affected by lamentation and illusion and cry for the dead son. But one may overcome lamentation and illusion by considering the words of Bhagavad Gita. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityur dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. As the soul transmigrates, one who has taken birth must give up the present body, and then he must certainly accept another body. There should be no cause for lamentation. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, Dhiras Tatrana Muyati. One who is a dhira or sober, who is learned in philosophy and established in knowledge, cannot be unhappy over the transmigration of the soul. By discussing spiritual knowledge, one can conquer lamentation and illusion. By serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. By keeping silent, one can avoid obstacle on the path of mystic yoga. And simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. Hare Krishna. Our Bhagwan Prabhu was telling a story. He said, someone was giving a talk, Bhagavat Katha, and in the middle of the Katha, someone called out loudly. He said, Sir, the bull has fallen into the well. And he said, bull or cow, whatever it is, Katha is going on, do not disturb. And the man said, it is your bull, and he jumped from the Vyasasan. So therefore, the subject matter wherein Narad Muni is discussing with Yudhishthira Maharaj. Who is discussing? Narad Muni is discussing. That he is beyond sadhana bhakti. He is pure devotee of the Lord. So therefore naturally he is beyond Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma is the stage where there is no lamentation and hankering. The nature of this material world, that along with pleasure has to come suffering. Even if one is a devotee, if you have good, the reaction of good is that there has to be bad. We can't avoid. Interestingly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vidya Vachaspati was so fortunate because Mahaprabhu came to his house. Lord Chaitanya was staying at his place, and because Lord Chaitanya was staying at his place, others who did not get that opportunity became very angry with Vidya Vachaspati. They said, we will throw your house in the Ganga. So good is there of Mahaprabhu's mercy, but the bad is there, the anger of the local people. Material world means, even if the mercy comes, the mercy causes anger to somebody else. There is no guarantee that everybody will appreciate what you are receiving. And you can't be angry with that. But usually we become angry. We are getting the mercy also, but we don't want the anger. That's possible only in the spiritual world. It is not possible in the material world, even while practicing devotional service. Even if you are associating with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We see the Pandavas, their whole life, We were discussing yesterday in our Brahmachari class that if you analyze every character of the Pandavas, and especially the mothers, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Uttara. Uttara was married when she was 14 and she became widow immediately after giving birth to her son Parikshit Maharaj. And how her husband was slaughtered and for the rest of her life. But Prabhupada sees differently. In the Bhagavatam purport he mentions, he said Uttara was fortunate from every angle. Wow. He says, a great warrior's wife, that was Abhimanyu, great devotee's mother, Parikshit Maharaj, and then connected to Krishna. So in this way, and her father was Drupad, in this way she was very fortunate. So even if you are protected by this fortunate situation, the very nature of this material world brings forth unlimited miseries and suffering. To practice devotional service with the hope that the misery will not come is a dangerous philosophy, because that might lead to frustration in devotional service. Why still this suffering is coming? Therefore, Narad Muni is speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is already established in pure devotional service. These dualities do not exist in them, but still because he is in the material world, he is speaking about it and giving a material solution. Material solution means you have to endeavor with your senses, with your mind and intelligence, while continuing to practice your devotional life. You may be chanting Hare Krishna, one may be worshipping the deities, but still the world will send us miseries. Adhyatmik, Adi Bhautik and Adi Daivik Kleshas. Along with the body, these three comes. These three things. We take birth and these three things also take birth. Advance. No, the red carpet treatment. Come ahead. I am there to welcome you. So therefore, every character in the Mahabharata, what kind of suffering? We were discussing Draupadi's suffering. Her birth was great. Draupadi was born from the fire sacrifice. She was not born from the womb. She was born from the fire sacrifice. And from there she came. She was fortunate to marry Arjuna, the great devotee. But then that marriage was the beginning of her suffering. Duryodhan, Karna, Dushyasan, Jayadrath, everybody had come there for that marriage. And they were burning with envy. They were cursing the Pandavas and they were hoping that we get a chance, you know, take revenge against her because she rejected Karna and Duryodhan could not achieve the target. And then from there her suffering starts. She got married, she comes to her mother-in-law's place, and the mother-in-law, no, she was not seeing what they said. Mother, we brought the bhiksha. The culture is that whatever you get, you give it to your elderly person. Whoever is the senior there, everything is offered to him. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, mother, we brought this bhiksha. And Kunti, mindlessly, without knowing, she said, share with everybody. Now when your mother says that, you can't undo those words. That was the Vedic culture. Very difficult. So then he said, my God, what did I speak? He said, if you execute these words, that will cause disaster for Draupadi. And if you don't execute this word, there will be a problem. So that was the beginning, that she had to live with five husbands. And then, when she comes to Hastinapur, you can imagine, you know, she was being disrobed in the assembly hall in front of her husbands, and not one, five husbands, and not five husbands, powerful husbands, and not powerful husbands, great devotees of the Lord. And but still they could not do anything. Bhishma is sitting, Dronacharya is there, Kripacharya is there. That was Asat Sabha. But within that Asat Sabha, the greatest of the devotees are residing. Yamaraj, Bhishma Dev, you know, Vidur was there. Everybody was there, but nobody could save her. Just imagine, right in front of your husband's presence, you have been insulted. harsh words were being used that you are a prostitute. This is what you deserve. Karna said this. And Dushyasana is pulling her right in the middle. And everybody is watching. Nobody could do anything. Only Krishna could save her. And then again, in the forest for all that 14 years, 12 years and plus 1 year in exile. And then within the forest, the Kauravas don't live in the form of their son-in-law, Jayadrath, the husband of Dushyala. You know, he came and he kidnapped her, being attracted by her beauty. And then again, after that, when she was living in incognito, Kichaka, the king could not do anything. He said, I can't do anything. He was torturing her so much. And that didn't over. When she was about to be coronated as the, you know, the wife of the Pandavas, the Yudhishthira Maharaj, the king, all her sons were slaughtered mercilessly. Not one, 5 sons were slaughtered. Now, how do you expect one to maintain one's faith in God? It is not possible to maintain faith in such condition. Now, there are many people who might criticize Draupadi. You know, she caused so much of trouble to Karna and Ekala. What suffering they went through? Yes, they went through so much little suffering, and because of them, there are people who have become atheistic. They blame Krishna, they blame Arjuna. And here, Draupadi is suffering so limitless, and nobody sympathizes. One after another. And she was not born in a Shudra family. She was not born to any family. She was born from Agni. How do you consider that she is a Brahmani, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra? She born from the fire and connected to great devotees, transcending Varnashram Dharma, being a devotee of the Lord. But how much suffering she had to endure. But in no point of time, she raised her finger. You are responsible. Srila Prabhupada explains in the 6th canto of the Bhagavat, the story of Chitraketu Maharaj. When Chitraketu Maharaj, after great endeavor, he received the son named Harshashoka. He received that son Harshashoka and he was growing. Again, the material world is that, how can you say it's pleasurable? Pleasurable, one object could be pleasurable to one person, and to someone, not even a distant relative, a very close relative, that same object which is causing excitement, happiness, could be greatest poison. You can't handle it. You can't stand it. It's suffocating. Now the same, Chitraketu Maharaj is the husband. He had many wives. He got son from one wife. You can't have piece of peace and then everyone collected. Everybody gets, it's my son. No, one son can come from one wife. So Kritadyuti got that pleasure of having a son. And then she got unlimited suffering also. She got the advantage position of having a son, but because of that son, or because of that situation, how much suffering she had to go through. And because the son was born, the other queens were neglected by King Chitraketu. That is how conditioned soul can act. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that how can you make friendship with anybody in this world, because the friendship where we extend with anyone in this world is so limited. How much can he do for us? And when he does something to us, somebody else is affected. Then he has to think, oh, should I extend my friendship? Because if I do this, other person is affected. Like Radha Gopinath was saying about one devotee. He had certain difficulties handling with another devotee. Kind of a guide. Now you can't say that I can't stand your guidance. It is not inspiring. It is boring. It is exhausting. Why? Because if he says like that, he'll feel hurt. And if he doesn't feel like that, then he's feeling hurt all the time. Because he wants to go and take guidance from somebody else. Just see, a person gets exhausted in adjusting everything. Adjustment. How can he adjust? We are giving the example to our children. Just imagine if you are walking. If this whole floor is covered with oil or covered with soap water, and in the winter season you also apply oil to your body, How can you comfortably walk on the floor? Every moment you'll be conscious, I'll fall down. While thinking, we'll fall down. Because the floor is not at all made natural to walk, because the oil is there. But now when we are running around, there is no consciousness of, you know, I'll fall down. But when the oil and the floor is filled with soap water, you can't. It is extremely difficult. Your movement becomes so restricted. So similarly, adjusting in this world, fighting the dualities, good and bad, pleasing and displeasing, making comfortable and uncomfortable. A conditioned soul spends his entire lifetime without achieving actually anything, unfortunately. So, Krita-dyuti was enjoying happiness, but so much of negative vibration coming from other queens. And eventually it reached to such an extent, mercilessly. They were not like that. It is not that, you know, these women were cruel, ugly, demons. They must have come from very good family. Why would Chitraketu Maharaj marry anybody? They must have come from good family. But the circumstance, the situation led them to act in such a demonic way that with their very hand they fed poison to this young baby. Now the Shastra says, you know, when you are feeding, yesterday Namanand was feeding some dosa to Govardhan. It was a little bigger piece. Immediately Radhika Bhadi said, Bahut bada hai, chota khila. Why? Because the father is concerned. You know, it's so small mouth and the dosa is so big. And Namanand has never tried doing to any child. So he is trying. Immediately there is a concern. Shastra says, what to speak of feeding poison? Even a, you know, mother should not eat a spicy food because that affects the child. And these ladies knew about this. But what are they doing? They are giving poison to this baby. And the child will not simply die. The child will die with great suffering. But when the mind is absorbed in selfishness, when the mind is absorbed in swartha, then what poison and what nectar? It doesn't matter. You can kill by any means. So they killed the baby. So when the baby was died, they felt relief. Just see how material world is arranged. That you kill a child and you feel complete relief. Now the trouble is gone. But for somebody else, unlimited lamentation. When the Krita-dyuti was brought inside, and there she condemns the destiny. He said, Aho balisham vidatha. He said, how childish are you? He said, in the presence of the father, the son is dying. What kind of law is this? That means you are not very intelligent. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is the way of a conditioned soul. This is the way of the conditioned soul. He is very good in condemning the destiny. Destiny means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He condemns the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then logically saying, if you think there is no such law that the son should not die in the presence of the father, you know, because of the karma, the son can die before the father also. That means we don't need a controller. We don't need a controller, because if such God cannot work on this principle, he is merciless and has no control also. So Krita-dyuti is lamenting, falling under baby and screaming, and Chitraketu Maharaj also expressing all lamentation, which is natural. Prabhupada explained, somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, and Abhimanyu died. Mahabharata explained, there was a great lamentation from Arjuna. To the extent where he became so revengeful, he said, tomorrow, before sunset, I am going to destroy Jayadrath. And next day, Arjuna's anger became Yajnakund, and about two Akshayini Sena entered into his anger. That means they were all killed. Two Akshayini Saina within one day Arjuna killed. The power of his anger. Of course, because they were killed by Arjuna and Krishna was there. Krishna had sanctioned it before only. So Arjuna utilized his anger also in devotional service and they got purified. That was for their benefit and Arjuna's benefit because he was doing devotional service. But when Arjuna was lamenting so much, Somebody asks, how can Arjuna lament after hearing Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada said, that is natural. To lament is natural. One is not saying that one should not express affection. When you see some of one's relative accidentally, in a very bad way, quits his body, it is but natural to express that concern and feeling. But that should not stop our service. So Prabhupada said, yes, Arjuna lamented, but his service did not stop. He continued to serve Krishna. He did not blame Krishna. In fact, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when Abhimanyu was dead, what does Yudhishthira Maharaj say? Yudhishthira Maharaj said, my Lord, he said, only because I want to enjoy the nectar of this kingdom, I want to be the emperor, I lost my intelligence. He said, he's a baby, just young child, he should have been sent to retreat for horse riding. He should be fed nice prasad, nice food with our own hands. He should be made to lie down on the bed, nice cushion bed. But I am so cruel that because of my selfishness, I send this young lad to the battle of Kurukshetra in the Chakravyuha. And that too when? Without the sanction of Krishna and Arjun. He said, I am condemned. How will I show my face to Arjuna? Here Yudhishthira Maharaj did not condemn Krishna. He did not say, you are responsible. Because of you are fighting this battle. And because of you I have lost my son. Remove the altar. No more chanting Hare Krishna. It happens with us. That when there is so much of suffering, the first thing the mind says, stop chanting Hare Krishna. Let us find some other alternative. Yesterday somebody was asking, you know, so much of suffering is there. Now if you are mother-in-law, then see the suffering of Kunti. And if you are daughter-in-law, see the suffering of Draupadi. You can't anytime match any amount of suffering. You know, cannot be compared also. We always discuss, you know, as living in the Brahmacharya ashram, sometime you hear your parents are going through so much of suffering. Then the mind runs, what should I do now? Then there are more devotees. Their suffering is much higher than what we experience. You will find at least one person in your surrounding whose life is much more miserable but has a greater conviction in devotional service. When you see them, you know, he has so much of suffering. My suffering may be 2%, but his suffering is 200%. But he is smiling and chanting Hare Krishna with such a conviction, with such an enthusiasm. You know, there is such a faith. So seeing such a devotee, then you feel, I am so stupid. I am such a fool that I am getting disturbed by little suffering. You always find somebody who is suffering more than you, but having a greater conviction to practice devotional service. So here Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting. And then Vasudev comes. See, in the cultured family, your lamentation is supported by knowledge. In an uncultured family, lamentation is supported by more lamentation. When someone dies, the relatives, they dress up. Now, it's a suffering time. They go and cry along with them. They don't add any value to their life. They simply add more tears. They add more tears in their life. In this way, the whole atmosphere where the lamentation is taking place, ignorance is prevailing. Knowledge is not prevailing. So therefore, in a cultured family, you get somebody who is enlightened. He comes there. When Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting, Vasudev came. Vasudev is connected to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Vasudev is connected to everybody. Fortunately for Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is connected physically also. When Vasudev came to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said, my dear Yudhishthir, he talked about Abhimanyu. He said, why you are crying? He said, he has achieved the destination which is desired by the great warriors. Abhimanyu has died such a wonderful death. So he changed the perspective. He did not cry along with Yudhishthira Maharaj. There were no tears. There was knowledge. He said, achieved Viragati. And then he said, my dear Yudhishthir, if it is the desire of the Lord, and if you try to interfere with the desire of the Lord, that is not fair. One has to bow down to the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he analyzed the situation. And then to reconfirm what he spoke, Vyasadeva talks to Yudhishthira Maharaj, the story which Narad Muni narrated to another king who lost his son in the battlefield. And how many stories Narad Muni says? And in that condition also, just see, usually, therefore we made a policy that unless they are staunch devotees, practicing devotees, we don't go to anybody's cremation. Why? Because if you go to cremation, they said, softly play kartal, do not play mridang, as soft as possible, chanting Hare Krishna. Why the hell we go there then? We go there to cry along with them? You know, we have some philosophical understanding, and then you are directing how brahmacharis, how the devotee should behave. And some relatives say, what is the chanting going on when the death is taken place? So that is not a place to visit. When the people are not enlightened and do not want to be enlightened, they want more number of people so that people can hear. So much of crying is going on. Just see. Aadmi achha tha, isliye log ro rahe. That is not the culture of the Vedas. This is not the Vedic culture. You need an enlightened person. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj, in that condition, Abhimanyu's body is there. He is lamenting, but he is not cursing Krishna. He is not condemning Krishna. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, my dear Vyasadeva, can you tell me the principle of death? What is this mrityu? How does mrityu come? What happens when somebody dies? And then Vyasadeva gives him a lecture. So Bhagavatam class doesn't stop even if death takes place. It doesn't stop. You don't have to stop Bhagavatam class. Bhagavatam class started after death took place. Battlefield is not the place, but because it was a lamentable situation and you cannot sympathize with Yudhishthira Maharaj by crying, so therefore Vyasadeva started speaking, quoting Narad Muni, stories after stories, and he was pacified. Similarly, Chitraketu Maharaj also, because after all he was a cultured king practicing Vedic culture, and seeing his condition, Parvat Muni, who had come before, Angira Muni had come before, now he brought another devotee. He said, let us go together. Angira Muni and Narad Muni comes. And Narad Muni is blunt. Like somebody came to Srila Prabhupada, a lady came with her daughter. Daughter was suffering from cancer. Young girl suffering from cancer. Naturally, you expect sympathy. Just see how psychologically it works. Sympathy doesn't benefit anybody. It does not make one to grow, but still we desire. You know, we want sympathy. So when he brought her to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada took the role of Vyasadeva, he said, today it's your daughter, tomorrow it's me and you. He said, this principle of death, because it was confirmed that she is going to die, so Prabhupada made her philosophically contemplative. He said, tomorrow it's you and me. He said, therefore do not be fearful. You already have Krishna consciousness. Continue chanting Hare Krishna. Increase your desperation to chant Hare Krishna. He said, this is the only solution. Narad Muni, now just see what kind of refined culture Yudhishthira Maharaj had. And Narad Muni came. Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting. Lamenting for whom? Lamenting for Dhritarashtra. Nobody could ever lament for Dhritarashtra, because he doesn't deserve any sympathy. But not only does not deserve any sympathy, Yudhishthira Maharaj allowed Dhritarashtra to stay at his place and continue to address him as a king. Not sarcastically like Bhima. Bhima had great anger, and he's right also. We can't say Bhima is unfair. He was right. And Yudhishthira Maharaj transcended this also, and he was treating Dhritarashtra. And when Vidura came, and Vidura gave enlightenment to Dhritarashtra, he did not ask, what medicine are you taking? Are you taking this medicine for your cough? Are you taking that medicine for your cough? Old man, how many medicine can he take? And what is the benefit of taking those medicines? He did not say in cupboard, you know, are you taking this medicine? That's how people comfort old people. All your medicines are there. Are you taking it rightly? Are you doing your morning walk properly? No, ask him, are you chanting nicely? Are you progressing? Stop going to all social functions. He takes medicine, gets some strength and goes to a social function and eats nice food and comes back. And again, you get comforted by your relatives. Sympathy. And that is called as sasi, very cultured. Vidura comes back and how sharply he speaks. Like an arrows, piercing arrows. He said, you old man, you fool. You can't speak. Your throat is stuck. You are making sound gur, gur, gur. Your digestive system is not working. And you still want to continue to live like this without prestige and honor. Anyway, this body is going to fall down. Why can't you quit this home and live? You are being insulted by Bhima. He's throwing food like a dog is being given to you. Just imagine, Vidur comes and the welcome address, when you come and meet your relative, there is embarrassed. Then you embarrass them, embrace them, and then hug them and talk nicely. How are you doing? How is your health? You know. But Vidura did not do any of these things. Very uncultured person from a modern civic sense. But he gave heavy dose. And Prabhupada says there are many Dhritarashtras in every house. Every house there is a Dhritarashtra. And what missing is Viduras. We need so many Viduras to go and preach. And then when Vidura spoke, ultimately, Vidura never gave up his hope. Dhritarashtra was determined to stay forever in this material world. And Vidura was determined to liberate Dhritarashtra. And eventually the conviction of a devotee is much greater than the conviction of a non-devotee. The hope for Dhritarashtra was the conviction of Vidur. If Vidur had given up, our condition is also like that. If devotees give up upon us, then there is no chance. We are stuck. We don't need any glue. We don't need any pavicol. We are stuck here. But because the devotees keep coming, they give proper dose of spiritual knowledge. They pull us out of that nasty material life. And Vidura, without even informing, it was not that there was a big ceremony for renunciation, a big celebration for renunciation. He just took him away without informing Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Yudhishthira Maharaj starts lamenting. And how does he lament? That is another sign of a great devotee. He said, how nicely my uncle took care of me when we were without our parents. What good is there in Dhritarashtra to look? But Yudhishthira Maharaj said, how nicely he took care of us, because we lost our father when we were very young. He said, where will I find him? I don't know what offenses we committed against our father, against Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. He is lamenting and Narad Muni comes. Narad Muni comes, what does he do? He gives another dose. He says, my dear Yudhishthir, everybody is caught up in the snake of time factor. He said, how can you protect anybody? You yourself are caught up in the time factor. Your time will come up very soon, so better you prepare also. He said, how can you protect anybody? There is no question of lamentation. If you consider there is an Atma, then Atma is beyond pleasures and pain. And if you consider body to be made of chemicals, where is the loss? The chemicals come into existence and chemicals get destroyed. People spend so much of money busting crackers, millions of rupees during, you know, the Independence Day or when India wins, if ever wins, some cricket match. You know, they make money, they don't burst crackers. The cricket players never burst crackers because they know the money will be lost. Every penny is valuable for them. But those who don't make any money, they spend their money. And some of the money is going, you know, chemicals are being burst. What is the question of crying? So just see how Vedic philosophy is so sharp, so cutting. And Narad Muni spoke this to Yudhishthira Maharaj.
And he just walked away from there. He didn't stay there trying to pacify. So there is no material sympathy expressed without spiritual transcendental knowledge. Take any example. Sukadeva Goswami did not sympathize with Parikshit Maharaj on a material platform. He came there being attracted to the quality of the Parikshit Maharaj, being connected to Pandavas. He comes, speaks the Srimad Bhagavatam, does not wait to see, oh my God, he's going to quit his body and I should be there. When he's dying, I should be there. No, he didn't say. He just walked away from there. And he said, don't be on the animalistic concept of life. He said, transcend this animalistic concept of life. Beyond the bodily concept of life. Just meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he walked away. And the Takshaka bird came. Bit Parikshit Maharaj. There was a lamentation for a moment. But all the demigods started showering flowers on Parikshit Maharaj. Why? Because he assimilated whatever he heard from Sukadeva Goswami. He was not lamenting, oh, my guru is not there when I am dying. My relatives are not there when I am dying. No, I have the knowledge. I have the conviction. And I have Krishna with me. So there was some lamentation. And immediately the shower started coming to Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, when Narad Muni was living, after instructing Chitraketu Maharaj, he said, contemplate on this. And that is what the verse is. By spiritual deliberation, one can actually overcome lamentation. Lamentation is there. These emotions are like waves. You cannot stop waves in the ocean. But you can manipulate the waves. You can bow down to the waves or you can transcend the waves. But you can't stop the waves. So when something happens like that, one does not need to be hard-hearted. Now problem is not lamentation. The problem is that nobody is there to lament. Now older people, they die without being cared for anybody. Either in the old age home or in their home. And after 1 or 2 days, you come to know when the body starts stinking. Because the son is somewhere else, daughter is somewhere else. Very unfortunate. That, and now people, like, you know, we were in one village. Bhagwan Prabhu was also there. He was saying, he went to meet one lady, elderly lady. When she saw Sadhu, she had some 5 rupees. She gave it to him. He said, please pray that I die. He said, why? He said, why should I live? Because nobody is taking care of me. Right in front of me, my sons are fighting that who gets what property. He said, how can I see this? But they're not even looking at me. So what is the point in living? So this is the renunciation caused by complete hard-heartedness. So nobody laments also in regards to when people die. But the lamentation cannot be avoided. If you don't express concern and feeling when somebody is going through suffering, but then some kind of suffering will come. Because the world of duality. The duality doesn't stop. Any pleasure in this world is connected with misery. Therefore, Prabhupada says, in this world, there is misery and mixed happiness. A very amazing point. Mixed happiness means what? Mixed happiness means flavored with misery. Any pleasure of the modern world is what? Is mixed happiness. Mixed happiness means 1 ounce pleasure. But in very near future, there is 1 liter of suffering. But one is not willing to see. One is not willing to see. A kind of food we intake, a kind of sense gratification we want to do. Sense gratification is not condemned in Vedic time, but it has to be spiritually done. It has to be done religiously. Now there is no such thing. A sense gratification is so miserable. The present sense gratification, guaranteed, kind of foodstuff, kind of drinks people have. Just imagine, what is the food young children take? Food made from maida, baked or oven food, and then ice cream and soft drink, cold soft drink. Can you imagine what that will do to the stomach? Pleasing to the tongue, but our intestine, our whole system is destroyed. And that's everywhere you see. When you go to the Western world, people have pizza in their hand, white poison and then a cup of, you know, drink, Coke drink or a coffee drink, and it's cold, and as cold as possible. In the airlines, when they serve, water is already cold. They said, can I put ice cube? And they put as much as water is there, that much of ice cube in the water. And we get shocked to see that. How can people drink like that? And what does it do to the stomach? And therefore, you are eternally constipated. And that is not a problem for someone who is eating proper food. Sometimes people say, 3 days. I have control for 3 days. Prabhupada said one who does only once is a yogi. You don't know what to call one who does not do for 3 days. He's three-time yogi. So therefore, materials, Kali Yuga especially, as the Kali Yuga progresses, and especially the modern, the Bhogabad, you know, is so much of suffering and so much of less pleasure. And therefore, atheism is much greater. Why? Because the consequence is that you condemn God. We were discussing yesterday the story of Gandhari. You can't find one of the best character, any other character other than the character of Gandhari. Her sacrifice, her commitment, you know, overcoming so much of temptation. You have the eyes to see. She came from a very, very great family from Afghanistan. She married to Hastinapur, the Kurus. The Kurus, you know, she was married to Kuru. And Dhritarashtra, the powerful personality, even though blind, but which family belong? He belongs to the Kuru family. But she covered her eyes. I'm not going to see for the rest of my life. I remember many years back we used to put blindfold for chanting. Either you go to sleep or keep opening your eyes. Remove the blindfold and keep watching. For how much? 1.5 hours also. And for the rest of her life she did not remove. Only twice. Once to make her son powerful, and second, when she was angry with Yudhishthira Maharaj, she did not remove it. From the corner of that blindfold, she was able to see the toe of Yudhishthira Maharaj and burnt it, made it into black color. That's all. Never ever saw anybody. In that sense, she did a really good job. Why do you have to see your husband and such stupid 100 children? Duryodhana and his company, and then Dhritarashtra. That was a good decision, but it's a very difficult decision. And she was the only one, when Draupadi was being disrobed, nobody could speak anything. Even Bhishma, he said, very difficult to understand dharma. He did not threaten, did not condemn, but Gandhari was the only one. She wanted to stop it, but it was too late. And when Krishna came as the peacemaker in the assembly, and the Lord, again, he acted as saint only. He just came and he said, capture this animal named Duryodhan. Bind him with ropes. Now you can imagine Krishna coming and saying, spoiling the whole plan. He didn't give any chance to Duryodhan. He didn't pacify him. He came and said, bind this animal with ropes and give it to Yudhishthira Maharaj so that everybody can be protected. The peace situation was finished. And then he spoke to Dhritarashtra. But Duryodhan exhibited great pride and walked away. And Dhritarashtra said, call my wife. Let her come. Let her tell Duryodhan what to do. And Gandhari comes. You can imagine a public place. This is Vedic Sanskrit. Yeah? That the wife had the right to chastise the husband. And Dhritarashtra was willing to take it. It is not that you shut up, you can't speak, you stupid woman. So she came. And she did not criticize her son. He said, you are responsible. You are responsible. So throughout her life, she never made any mistake. Never made any mistake. Only twice. And that costed her too much. Only twice she made some mistake. She exhibited human mistake. Even while practicing such dharma. And what was it? When Kunti gave birth to Yudhishthira Maharaj, she struck her embryo, struck her womb, because the envy came And just see how much it costed. 100 sons. 100 sons, they came with the consciousness which was there temporarily. It did not stay ever. She was not bad to Kunti. Only at that point, therefore the Garbhadan samskar, the samskar, she fed him chili. Chili pakoda was fed in the form of envy and Duryodhan was born. Of course, she had the chance to quit him because Vidur said, you make a mistake, but there are people to rectify your mistake also. Krishna arranges everything. It's not that only one chance. Vedic religion doesn't give only one chance. There are chances many times. You made a mistake, Vidura came. Vidura was such a visionary. He could see the past, he could see the present, and he could see the future also. He said, quit this child. If you renounce this child, the whole Kuru race will survive. But they couldn't take it. They saw, Dhritarashtra saw, Gandhari saw, how this baby was born. All inauspiciousness. You can't say it's a blind faith. Now, everything was inauspicious, but they couldn't give up because of the attachment. That was one mistake. And then the last mistake, that when the lamentation was overwhelming, that hundreds of her sons were killed and Gandhari couldn't take it. Her sense control, her restraint was lost to lamentation. And then such a lady, in fact Mahabharata, the first chapter says there are 6 principles in Mahabharata. One is the religiosity of Gandhari, determination of Kunti, the glories of Krishna, the visionary activities of Vidura, and Pandava's, you know, conviction in spirituality, and the sons of Dhritarashtra, their evil activities. He said these are the 6 subject matters of Mahabharata. It doesn't discuss about greatness of Karna. That is the compilation of some stupid, you know, blasphemers. These are the 6 topics. And then where does it lead to? At the end of the whole pastime, Gandhari, she lost it. She lost. How did she lose? That all her dharma, all her purity, you know, made her to lament so much about losing only of her sons. She was lamenting, my sons, my sons, my sons. And then she cursed Krishna. She cursed Krishna. So somebody said that should we worship Gandhari as the most chaste lady, or should we condemn her for blaspheming Krishna? What an unfortunate end. Not desirable. A very scary one. That everything you have to go back to the spiritual world, but then the lamentation, overwhelming lamentation, that is the difference between Kunti and Gandhari. The sons were dead. They finished. They went back to Swarga. But Pandava's sons did not die. So much of suffering. But Kunti, you know, her conviction to practice spiritual life continued. The pleasures came. She said, no, I want misery so that I can remember Krishna. But Gandhari had the misery, but she cursed Krishna. That means all that accumulated piety, you know, which could take you back to Godhead, you just throw it in the garbage can, down the drain, lost everything. Of course, Krishna is not, he didn't see that. He said, you have protected my Pandavas, and I was looking for some solution how to take back my Yadavas. He said, it doesn't matter. The Lord is merciful. Somehow that she came in contact with Krishna, she also achieved perfection. But then, you know, you stay like that. For those who want to learn lesson, this is the lesson. We don't want to be devotee like that. Our interest is not only to go back to Godhead. Our interest is to follow in the footsteps of the Pandavas. Therefore, Narad Muni glorifies the Pandavas. Bhishma Dev says, when Krishna came there, gorgeously dressed, and he made the Pandavas also dress gorgeously. And when they came there, the tears were rolling from the eyes of Bhishma Dev. And he was still remembering the suffering what the Pandavas went through. He couldn't remove from his heart. Therefore, Krishna made all the Pandavas dress gorgeously. Why? Because Bhishma will continue to remember the suffering what the Pandavas went through. And he said, how custom, you know, how much suffering this sons of Pandu had to go through. Unlimited suffering. And what are they? Who are they? They don't deserve suffering because they're sons of the Dharma. They're sons of the demigods. And they're protected by Brahmanas, protected by the Vedas, and protected by Achyuta, Krishna himself. But still so much of suffering. That means it was the destiny, it was the desire of the Lord. Now they're happy. But he was crying, tears, seeing their suffering. And therefore Narad Muni says, my Lord, what are these Pandavas? So much of suffering, but they never gave up your devotional service. Therefore, if you ask anybody in this world, why you're an atheist, why you became an atheist, when the dual world affected them, from the pleasure, because they enjoyed so much, and that enjoyment led to, as a consequence of suffering, and they couldn't handle that suffering, and all blame went against the Supreme Lord. God is responsible for my suffering. I have nothing to do with God. And they became atheist. So that is the only fear for a practicing devotee. Fear is not that we are fallen. We are already fallen. You don't have to worry that I will fall down. We are all fallen. If there is a confusion about, you know, I am on this level and I have not fallen, then that is a greater fall down. We are already fallen, but there is a facility for fallen people. Lord Chaitanya has come. Krishna has made it so easy. The facility to go back to Godhead is very easy. But the problem is, material world continue to act. That Lord Chaitanya has not removed. He has made the process easy to go back to Godhead. But he has not said, I'm going to change the whole world. I'm going to make it fully pleasurable place. That he has not interfered. The suffering will continue to increase because Kali Yuga is increasing. That he will not interfere. The Lord himself, even for his devotee, the dual world he will not remove. Why? He said, that's your responsibility to transcend it. You transcend it, receive the mercy and go back to Godhead. Therefore, it will be stupidity on our part. And that's what we have to pray to each other, to Krishna, that I may not give up devotional service when I'm affected by the dual world. When I'm affected by the pleasures and consequently the miseries, the overwhelming misery, unhandleable, cannot handle them. And if you still call devotees like Narad Muni and Vyasdev, they are there around. They are willing to give advice. But if you say, I don't want to hear, I've heard enough, I know all the philosophy, then what can they do? Then we'll have somebody else coming, adding more suffering to us. By crying and putting their hands on our shoulders, crying, and both cry, and both create a lake of tears, and drown there, suffocate and die, without any benefit. But if the Narad Munis, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Vyasdev, and especially Viduras come, and they pull us out, and give us the bead bag, and make us chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then we go back to the spiritual world with following in the footsteps of Kuntis and the Pandavas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I spoke more than what I practice, but the subject is like that. It's a fearful one, that the miseries of this world are very overwhelming. And they cause many times. Yesterday, our Rishikesh Anand was talking about lust. But the lust is there. The after effect of the lust is suffering. So that is more. So therefore, if we can overcome this by proper association, then we continue to practice and we don't unfortunately become Gandhari. It's not her fault. Krishna simply used her to make her an instrument. She's an associate of the Lord in one sense. And then therefore, Vidura was called upon and she went back, practicing again Dharma, along with her husband, attained perfection. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.